There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
So what I just read out there was the first line in the synopsis for Girls Burn Brighter by Shobha Rao, the book that we're pulling off the bookshelf today. Reviewing the book, we have Dolly Jitani in the studio with us. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nervous.
There's no need to be nervous. Who would you like to give a shout out to?
Oh, I would like to give a shout out to Penny McKenzie, the one who's gotten me involved in all this in life.
So would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself? Where do you work? What do you do? And what kind of books do you usually read?
I'm a market researcher. I'm a geek and a nerd.
Excellent.
I work on Excels all the time and PowerPoints. But I love theatre. So I do a lot of theatre productions with Dubai Drama Group. And I love reading books. The genre which I normally read is young adult fiction or fantasy fiction. A lot of books on the Middle East and books by some of the Indian authors, because they're all very different, and depending upon my mood and the time of life, I read those books.
Was Girls Burn Brighter something new for you?
It was very new for me because I had not read this author before, and I was a bit skeptical in the first chapter, and then I started reading and just picked up, and I got hooked onto it where I couldn't put the book down.
Before we get into a detailed conversation about the book, I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of everything that's happening. So basically you've got two characters, haven't you? Purnima and Savita. And they've known little kindness in their lives until they meet as teenagers. An act of devastating cruelty means that Savita is driven away and Purnima leaves behind everything she has ever known to find her friend. That's summarising it quite a bit because there's a lot that happens before it gets to that point. And it alternates between their two perspectives, so Purnima's perspective and Savita's, as they face, they're each facing a lot of struggles, and you see what each one is facing, and they're all, it's quite horrible, isn't it?
It is quite horrible because they go through everything that's kind of spoken about being a girl child in India. And a lot of people think that these things were there like, say, 30, 40 years back or 20 years back, but they're still rampant. So whether it's talking about being born as a girl child, being dark in skin, getting married, so having a dowry, not being able to conceive a child, then all of those things that is what the book talks about, because they are still rampant in India. And then the other thing about human trafficking, which comes up, though they've shown it not in the big scale, which actually there's some other books which have spoken about it, but it does bring it to light how it's happening and how ill-treated women are.
One thing that I did notice, like you said there, so Girls Burn Brighter is talking about these two different women. It's talking about a lot of trials and obstacles that they go through that a lot of girls in India still facing. The thing that struck me as I was reading it was, as the book starts, you think, okay, it's set in a village, it's called Indravali, and you think, okay, well, what time period is this set in? And it's actually present day, isn't it? And the more that sinks in, the sicker you feel as you read this.
I agree, that was my impression as well from the first chapter. You don't really understand where it is in time until little elements of the story are dropped and you realise how up to the minute this actually is, this telling is.
You're absolutely correct. Like I said, people think it's 20, 30 years back that these things happened. And in the book, you're talking about two girls from really impoverished families, you know, who didn't have money. So you believe it's because of that. But most of these issues are rampant across different classes and communities even today. They'll just be more subtle. They won't be in your face like this, but they are still there.
In terms of the writing, you said you didn't quite get into it in the first chapter. Can we talk a little bit about the plot and the pacing of the story?
Sure.
How did you find that?
I think she's very, except for the first chapter, she's very direct. She's hard-hitting because she didn't mince her words, the author, once she got into it. But the first chapter was a bit like, okay, what are we talking about here? You know, it was more philosophical to me somewhere. But then she's very hard-hitting, direct, and it's a very easy read, you know. So for, it's not like one of those books which can be very difficult. Some of the Indian authors who are very good, their books are very difficult sometimes
in
to
what
read.
Way
in terms of the language sometimes which is used, or it's very subtle, so you need to get the point out. like, you know, it'll be stretched over a period of time to get the same idea out. She's very direct. So that's why you don't, like, want to keep the book down.
I think that's right. It's vivid language, and you're placed right there with the characters, but it's straightforward. Quite lyrical in places,
yes.
But also very straightforwardly told. You know exactly what's going on all the time, and that is quite eye-opening and quite horrific in places.
I want to talk about this lyrical element to the language a little bit, because we've come across this before where we've been talking about books that are about quite difficult subject matter. So here we're talking about human trafficking and all the terrible issues that girls in India face. These particular two girls go through some horrible stuff in the book. And we had a conversation about whether or not the lyrical writing actually makes it seem easier to take as a reader, or whether it actually highlights how awful everything is for the characters in the book. How did it come across for you?
I think it highlighted even more how awful it is for the characters in the book for me. But again, like, I try not to read reviews of a book which I'm reviewing, but I read it like at the last moment after I'd got my thoughts in place. And a lot of people who are not from India who'd written the reviews, it was more like how horrific this is. But I'm like, this is something that I've been brought up with. I've seen it around me. I've heard about it throughout life. So I wasn't like too shocked when I was reading the book, of course, in a way, you know. But I think the writing is, the lyrical helps, but it just brings it more to life that what's happening.
When you were reading it, Flora, something I found was that I saw a lot of the lyrical description in places, and I found myself actually skipping some of the description. Did you?
In order to sort of keep on with the plot?
Yeah.
I think there's a risk of that, because it is a very fast-paced and compelling read, and you really want to know what is going to happen to the characters. And there's such an interesting comparison between them, because you have the two girls, and you have Purnima, who at first is very poor. And you start to understand her life and what she's gone through. She's lost her mother. She's looking after her younger siblings. The family has very little money. But then you meet Savita, who is even poorer. And I think the realization that Purnima has about another girl of her age who has even less, and that's one of the things that really opens her eyes and helps to open your eyes as well as your reading. That's gone slightly away from your question, Annabelle. Sorry, it was something that was in my mind. But I felt that the friendship that develops between these girls is what is so magical about the book, and this determination they have to help each other and to find a way out. And that is the thing that you are reading. You want to find out where they're going to end up, what is going to be the ultimate end for the two of them. And yes, I think you are at a risk sometimes of skipping some of the beautiful language and description. But I think the book, the narrative does work very, very well.
And one of the, one interesting thing that I saw in the book was how the characters evolved over a period of time. You know, their characteristics, both the characters. So their names, Savita actually means bright like a sun, and Purnima is like a moon. So the author has chosen two different parts of the day. And you think Savita is a stronger one in the beginning. You know, she's the one who will get through everything. But she comes across as being very naive through the book, because she keeps on falling into similar issues. She trusts people more easily.
And she's more reckless.
Yes, she's more reckless. Whereas Purnima, which you thought, oh, she'll be, you know, somebody whom people can walk over. She changed, maybe just to get to her friend. But that determination, she changed. You saw her being suave, intelligent, cunning. You know, like, to get to that mean. She didn't mind taking part in human trafficking just to get there.
And she plans and she plans and she plans.
Yes. Yeah. She definitely hardens over the course of the novel, whereas Savita seems to sort of stay the same almost. Did you find that, or...?
I think to a degree. I think Savita is knocked much more by the life that comes to them. Purnima seems to be able to rise to the horror and see a way through, whereas Savita is rocked by it constantly, I think.
The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
So we left off talking a little bit about the language being used and some of the characters as well, and how they develop over the course of the novel. So we were saying off air that there's a second half of the book and kind of a first half of the book. What you preferred one to the other? Which was?
Yes, I kind of preferred more the first half of the book, just because I think it seemed more realistic to me than the second half of the book somewhere, like, which is a US-based one. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag by talking too much about it for people who want to read the book, but I found the story more fast-paced in the first half. And in the second half, I think the author could have done away with some bits.
See, I felt completely the opposite. I could have put the book down in the first half, but in the second half, I absolutely couldn't. I couldn't stop reading. What did you think, Flora?
I'm trying to think about that now. I think the first half was quite eye-opening for me. That was very compelling. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the obstacles that are faced by women in India, and it's very much in the news at the moment, in fact. And reading more about that and learning through the characters' eyes, I did find that very compelling. The second half, it takes them to a different place. It gets, the story is much smaller in the sense of what the world that the girls are experiencing is. And so I think I can see both your points of view. It was very interesting to see what happened there. But at the same time, I really felt that the atmosphere and the storytelling in the first half had a kind of a wider, more vivid nature, but still enjoyed both.
One of the things we were talking about was how the girls, because of everything that they face and go through, they kind of harden in response to their surroundings. They have to get tougher because of everything that's happening to them. And there's a story that struck me in the book. She's told a story by Savita, I think Purnima is, about a crow, about being eaten whole or being eaten piece by piece. And I think it's a similar analogy to basically being cooked in a bathtub that heats up gradually or whether you just hit the water instantly. And that comes up again and again. And I think there's an analogy throughout the book as to how much more can they take, how much more can they take. And every time you turn the page, you think, okay, it must get better for them now. It must get better for them now. And even when you mentioned that these are issues that they face as girls in India, but then I think an important point that the book makes is that even when they go to America, they're still going through similar abuse and similar obstacles and frustrations.
But it is a situation in which they went to America. They went to America as part of human trafficking. Like, they didn't go as independent girls who've gone there. So Purnima still has a better life in America in those 3 weeks that they speak about, because she is not a part of the human trafficking,
she's
in a way.
She's gone sort of more on her own terms, whereas Savita goes under a promise that doesn't come true, which I guess, or not quite, but she goes thinking she's going to experience a different life to the one that she does, which,
yes,
I'm sure,
yes,
must be the case.
What do you think the title is trying to say?
So I think the title is trying to say that though they've gone through all these obstacles that we were talking about, even till the end, they've not given up. There is determination. There is an excerpt in the book in the beginning which they talk about having a light within you, which is kind of guiding you and not letting that light die.
And I think they see in the eyes of the different women who they meet along the way where the light has died,
yes,
and where they still retain it within themselves. And I think it's that light that's trying to bring them back together.
Absolutely, which is bringing them back together. And, you know, somewhere towards the middle when Savita is almost giving up in life, and then she realizes that she still got that light which she thought had gone. And she's like, you know what? I can do this. I can get through life and I can make something out of it even today.
Is there anything in particular, so we can get a feel for the language, that you'd like to read out?
Yeah, I could actually read out that excerpt about the light that I was talking. She moved the mirror closer, then farther. She tilted it. She straightened it. She looked and she just looked, and there it was. What was that? Stop, she said out loud into the emptiness of the room. Hold it there. And so she held it there, and that was when she saw it. Had it always been there, the lamp glowing from within? How had it survived all these previous months? How had it held on? Wow. Which is what she talks about. Like, she's gone through so many obstacles till this point of time, but the light has still been there in her, and she's surprised by it.
One thing that I thought Shobha did really well was because they both work at the loom, at the charka, I think it's called.
Yes, yeah.
And weaving is a bit, and thread and cotton and weaving thread is a really big part of the whole story, and it keeps cropping up throughout the narrative. Savita keeps a piece of a sari that she's making for Purnima throughout the book, and she holds on to it like it's some sort of...
It's a talisman.
Talisman, in a way. What do you think that they're trying to say, or that Chopin's trying to say, when she's constantly referring to threads and fabric and and cotton in the book?
I think she's referring to weaving into the lives of the people, like how with that sari which Savita held on to, half complete sari, that too, she couldn't complete the whole thing. She has hope that I will meet Purnima at some point of time in my life for this.
No, I was going to say the weaving and the thread. For Savita, it's the first time that she earns something for herself is through her skills at weaving. And I think that's important to her as well. She takes the place of Purnima's mother on the loom. And Purnima weaves thread from cotton. So they have those two different aspects of it. And this idea of the thread that she... I love there's a moment where she thinks she can spot the thread that she has... made, spooled,
yes,
in as it comes back into the different saris that are then made. And this idea of continuity, I think, ties in with their friendship in the sense that they are threaded, they're woven together as friends.
Absolutely. And by the end of it, like, you see that only a small piece of it left. Like, you know, going through the obstacles, it becomes smaller and smaller, the piece of sari which is there.
And then it goes back to the story that she was told about the crow being eaten piece by piece by all these things that happened to her.
And Savita was determined that would not happen.
Yes, she was. She was like, you'd rather die full in a way.
Eaten whole rather than taken piece
by piece. Exactly. And that's what I wanted to say when you said that. I'm like, but she went through it piece by piece in life.
We don't want to give too much away by talking about the ending, but we are... It's a bit inconclusive, isn't it? I don't think we're giving anything away by letting people know that in advance.
Yes, that's what we were talking in the break right now. That I was like, okay, I want to turn another page. Is there a sequel to this book?
I think it's meant to be ambiguous.
Yes, I do like an ambiguous ending. Sometimes they can be too ambiguous. But it's a very powerful novel that drives you towards that point.
And I think a good point about this book is if I'd known exactly how much they go through before I'd opened the book, I probably would not have wanted to pick it up and have to read about all of that. But she does it so well and so beautifully. There are flashbacks to her as flashbacks to their lives when they're children and moments with their mothers and appreciating small beauties in life that just throughout the book they're heartbreaking, but they make it such a beautiful read. Who would you recommend this book to?
So there are a couple of other Indian authors who've kind of written books on similar lines. One is Vikram Seth's A Suitable Boy. It's quite a famous, well-read book. The only difference is his style of writing is more subtle, like... You know, so he brought about similar kind of issues which were there in India, which were about caste differences, community differences, marriage, and so on in the post-independence day. But his writing style is very different. And there's another author, Maximum City, he wrote, Suketu Mehta, a few years back. So The Girls Born Bright was about a small town in the south of India, whereas Maximum City was about Mumbai, the biggest, one of the world's biggest cities and the biggest city in India, and which talks about similar things which happen in the city. It's very gritty, very hard-hitting, just like Girls Born Bright. So I would say, you know, people who like this book should read those two books to get similar perspectives, but from different authors.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.